Well, I tell you what, brothers and sisters, these songs have spoke to me this morning and what really I think really is impressive to me is these songs were picked months ago for today. You suppose God might have had a hand in that? Praise be to God. They spoke to me because they sang about our conditions. There's been much loss of life in our neighborhood lately. And yet we just sung, "I'll Praise You in the Storm." And we sung about the cornerstone of our lives. And so as I stood here and sung with you, I was just in awe of God's mercy and goodness and His leading. Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise You. We worship You. We cry, Lord Jesus, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and praise and glory. Worthy are You, Heavenly Father, to receive praise. As the psalmist said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We praise You this morning, O God Most High. And Father, as we have come this morning to sing and lift our voices to You, I know that there are hearts in this sanctuary and there are hearts that will gather around other churches and in our community that may not feel like praising You in the storm of their life. Help them, O Lord, I pray. Comfort them, encourage them, strengthen them, and help us to realize this verse that was just read. The invitation is there. Jesus said, come to Me. Jesus is saying, come to Me. He's calling to people today. Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for each person here. And if we are here this morning weary and heavy laden, help us come completely surrendered to You, the Lord Jesus Christ, and feel the rest from the Prince of Peace. Glorify Your name, Father. In this church, in this community, in churches everywhere, glorify Your name in America and around the world today and always, we pray. Thank You for comforting us. Thank You for walking with and comforting these families. All three are represented here this morning that have walked these last few days through the valley of the shadow of death. Thank You for Your comfort, O God. Thank You for Your guiding hand. Thank You for the salvation and the hope that is ours in Christ. Thank You for America. I pray for America, O God. I pray for our leaders now and those that will be leaders in the future. We need You, Father. Forgive us. We have gone our own way. We have tried to do things our way. We have forgotten You. Forgive us for that, O God. We need You, Father. We need You, Jesus. We need an outpouring of Your Spirit, Heavenly Father, like at Pentecost. We need revival in the church. Revive our hearts that sit here today. Revive the hearts of people that sit in churches all over this town and the next town. Revive our communities. O God, we pray. We need You. And so, Father, as we talk again this morning and we look to Scripture again this morning on this topic about hell, just one more time, where we have been hesitant and reserved not to come boldly to the throne of grace, help us to come to you in faith surrendered today. Where we have had questions in our mind, God, what does it all mean? What is my purpose? Why am I even here? Father, help us to trust in you today. Help us to trust in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Savior. Help us to trust Him as Lord today. Today, your word says, is a day of salvation. May it be so for people in churches everywhere and in people that don't go to church. May today be the day of salvation for people all over the globe, but certainly here in our towns, in our communities, oh God. Thank you again, Heavenly Father, for every person here. Speak to their heart like only you can, I pray. And guide us as we continue to look at your word, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Over the course of these last weeks, most of you know that we've been talking about hell. I've entitled this sermon series, Hell is No Joke. And perhaps as much as anything today in this series, I have prayed for that God would speak to hearts and we would think about eternity in a new way. And if God has spoken to hearts, that, and we feel this uneasiness, perhaps, this restlessness, I'm not sure I'm ready for heaven, then my prayer has been that we would do something about that. There's still time, as long as we are drawing breath, to do something about our eternal destination. And my prayer and my desire has been, more than anything else, not to scare people, not to chase people away from God, not to condemn people, but to invite people to Christ and be born again and be on our way to glory. That has been my prayer and my desire for us all along. It's still my prayer for us in our community and our families and our co-workers that we would come to Christ, that we would know hell is real and heaven awaits everybody that'll put their faith in Christ. I pray every day for our towns, us, our churches, our families, that we will know Jesus. That we will know Him in such a way that we're transformed. That we will know Him in such a way that we know when we close our eyes in death, we're bound for glory to see Him. That's God's desire. I told us that in the very first week. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Repent of our sin. I talked about that last week. Turn away from our old ways and walk in newness of life with Jesus and be bound for glory with Jesus. That's been my heart all along. And so, I'm praying that we and our communities and our families at large, and our co-workers and our neighbors will sense a new urgency about eternity. And if we haven't done something about eternity, then we do something about eternity today. Revelation 20. I'm going to touch on this. It's a long story in Revelation 20, but there's two verses I want to emphasize. Before I move on, Revelation 20 is a story about the millennium. So we're not going to talk a great deal about the millennium. That's it would take up too much time. But you can read that. But the millennium, the seven-year tribulation is over. In this point in Scripture, the tribulation is over. The battle of Armageddon is over. We get to Revelation 20, and we see this new scene, this thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, and there's peace. And at the same time, the devil is thrown into the bottomless pit. That's Revelation 20, for 1,000 years. I give you that background because I want you to get these two verses that I get to. Revelation 20, verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. That's the devil gathering people against God, called Gog and Magog here, from whatever countries you may attach that to. But the devil has been loosed. He's gathered all this multitude against Jesus, against Jerusalem. They're camped around there, and fire came down from God out of heaven and consumed them. That's not the part I want you to get. I want you to get the next one. The devil who deceived them and all of humanity, really, since God created Adam and Eve, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet already are. You can read about that in the prior two chapters, Revelation 18 and 19. And they are tormented day and night forever and ever, says the Word of God. Then, John says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them, the heavens and the earth. They fled away at the very presence of the Almighty God seated there on the throne. And I saw the dead, John writes, those that were just killed in that battle, and all of the dead for all of time that died outside of Christ. He says, and I saw the dead. They're not dead now, by the way. They're standing before the throne of God. I saw the dead, small and great, presidents and kings, probably church leaders and paupers. I saw them all standing there before the throne of God. And the books were opened up. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. He sees this mass of humanity before the great white throne of God. All of those who have died outside of Christ for all of time past are now standing before the great white throne of God. And the books are opened. And the Bible says the sea even gave up the dead who were in it. It doesn't matter, friends, if we were buried at seas or at the sea, or if we were eaten by lions or burned at the stake or anything else. If we were eaten by sharks, even if there's nothing left, the Bible says there's going to come this time and everybody is going to be raised up. And here at the great white throne, the dead will be raised up and judged. Death. Listen to this now. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Do you remember Luke 16, those of you who are here? Do you remember the story? Lazarus, rich man. Boy, we're going to have to go back and visit again if nobody remembers. Lazarus and the rich man, Luke 16. That's how we started this series. Do you remember where the rich man went? Jesus told the story, and as soon as the rich man closed his eyes in death, he went to Hades, the Bible said. And he was in anguish, and he was in torment, and he cried out. He saw across the gulf, as it were, Father Abraham, send that beggar a dip, one drop of water to comfort me in my torment. He was in Hades. Now look at what the Bible says. There's going to come a time. The dead outside of Christ, as soon as we close our eyes in death, if we have not received Christ as Lord, we will go to Hades. And if we are in Hades, the only opportunity for anything else is to be raised right here from Hades. The Bible says, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. They were judged, each one according to their works, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone, here's the second verse I want us to get out of Revelation 20. Anybody not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, where the devil, the beast, and the false prophet already are. Anybody, doesn't matter if I'm a pastor or a deacon or a board member or a praise team member or a Sunday school teacher or I never go to church, if my name is not written in the book of life, the Bible is clear, was cast into the lake of fire. I don't tell us this to condemn. I've told you that for 4 weeks in a row. I tell us this to enlighten. Have we prepared for heaven? Because if we haven't prepared for heaven, this will be the outcome at the great white throne one day. Anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus is the preparation. Jesus came to earth to save sinners, me and us, from sin, to put us on the pathway to glory. Jesus is the one that redeems. Do not put our faith in church membership or a preacher or because I'm a Sunday school teacher. Jesus is who our faith must be in. If we are going to be part of heaven forever and avoid this whole idea, this place called the lake of fire, we must surrender to Jesus. Someday this is going to play out. Someday this scene will play out. Millions and billions of people will stand before Almighty God and hear the sentence. Jesus talks about this in all kinds of places. I mentioned to you over this series that 40-some times Jesus talks about hell in the four Gospels. 40-some times he gives these warnings. Warnings. He's inviting people. He's inviting them then. He's inviting us today. Come and follow me. Surrender to me. But he also tells us there is consequences if we don't. 40-some times in the Gospels he talks about hell. In Matthew 24, 31 to 46, there's a story about sheep and goats. I don't have time to go into it. You know the story, a lot of you. This story is played out here, right here in Revelation 20. The long and the short of it is, the sheep are on the right hand, the goats are on the left hand. He separated them. It's at the end of the age. And the sheep, he says, well done, because you walked in faith and you did things because you had faith in Christ. And to the goats, he said, you didn't do anything about me. And the very last thing he says to them in that scene is, these, the goats on his left, the very last thing that Jesus said to, in that parable, in that story, these will go away to everlasting punishment. If we never got right with Jesus, you say, yeah, but Jim, I know about God. Praise the Lord. But have you been born again in the Spirit? Jesus said, if we haven't been born again in the Spirit, we will never see the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about this same scenario in Matthew 7. I referred to that already in this series when he said, and on that day, people will stand before God and they say, but God, I did this and I did that. I even cast out a few demons in your name. And the only thing that he will reply to them is, depart from me. I don't know who you are. Because we never were born again in our spirit. We never come to know Christ by faith and trusted Him as Lord and followed Him. The only words we will hear is, depart from me. I don't know who you are. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Each of us, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, each of us has about so much time to decide about eternity. We've got about so much time to decide. And the more we decline the invitation, the Spirit of God is working on hearts in churches today. Working on hearts in people that aren't in church today. The Spirit of God, His role is to invite us, come. Come. He whispers to our heart. He whispers to our mind, in our ears. Come. Jesus died for you. Jesus loved you. The whisper that we hear, the beckoning of the Spirit to come, trust Jesus as Lord, repent of your sins, surrender. He's whispering, come. And the more we say, not now, Lord, the harder it gets right here. The easier it is to say, not now, Lord. Do not delay, brothers and sisters, if you have not made your reservation in heaven. If your name isn't found yet in the book of life, make sure that it is there today by repentance of sin, believing in Christ as Lord, receiving Him as Savior. Make sure of that today, brothers and sisters. I got so much more and I don't have much time. Mark 9:43-48, Jesus reminded folks in that story when He said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell. Now listen to what He says. To go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Three times He says that in Mark. He talks about our hand. He talks about our foot. He talks about our eyes. Where there is sin, I talked about this a little bit last week, where there is sin, cut it out. Repent of it. Walk away from it. Because Jesus says here clearly and emphatically again in Mark 9, get the sin out of your life and walk in newness of life. Because if we don't address sin, if we don't repent of it and receive Christ as Lord, He said, into the fire that shall not be quenched, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. He says in Mark chapter 9. And in Matthew 13, He tells a very simple little illustration. At verse 47 in Matthew 13, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore, and they sat down and they gathered the good into vessels, but they threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. Do you see the pictures, brothers and sisters? Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven is like. He throws out this vast net trying to capture people and bring them in. And it will capture people of every kind. This is just a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. And people of every persuasion of color of skin, and rich and poor, and ethnicity will be gathered up into the net. And there will be a separation, just like we've already seen in these other stories. And the good will be put into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and they'll separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Friends, I've said this a whole bunch of times in this series. Hell is not a joke. We make jokes about it. As long as there's a motorcycle there, I'm good, was somebody's reply. My friends are all going to be there. It's good by me. Hell is no joke. It's no picnic. You've heard these adjectives describing over and over the torment, the anguish, weeping and gnashing of teeth, furnace of fire, fire and brimstone. You've heard it. This is not a joke. This is not a picnic. that I'm going to on a Sunday afternoon, and when it's over, I'm done. I'm calling it a day in hell. Jesus promotes over and over and over the kingdom of God. And people rejected him. And people are still rejecting him. He promoted the kingdom of heaven and he invited people to come. Come. He shed his blood for everybody. And he's inviting us, come. Come be part of my kingdom. And he also has warned us of the reality of hell. Let me close with this. People who profess faith in Jesus Christ, surrender, get ourselves like out of the way, just like Jim had to do. Get Jim out of the way and surrender, repent of my sin, and follow Jesus. Decide to follow Jesus, knowing it's the shed blood of Jesus on the cross that saves. All of us that repent of sin and claim Christ as Lord, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come in today, save me, forgive me. Everybody has the hope of heaven that will do that. But if we never do it, we never walk with Jesus, we never repent of sin, we're never born in the Spirit, then hell awaits everyone. And let me just say today, friends, as we prepare to sing Just As I Am, let me just say, don't let the whispering of the devil in your ear, words like, oh, you're pretty good. You ain't as bad as that nasty neighbor. You're better than your boss. You're better than that coworker. You're on the board of administration, for heaven's sakes. You're a Sunday school teacher. Sherry and I both know people that have been deacons, Sunday school teachers, board of administration people, and haven't been born again. Don't let the whispering of the devil say, you're a Sunday school teacher, Jim, or John, or Julie, or George, or whatever her name is. Don't let the whisperings of the devil say, don't embarrass yourself by walking up in front of anybody and praying to receive Jesus. Don't let the whisperings of the devil continue to walk on the broad road, because the broad road leads to destruction. I think over these 4 weeks I've shown us Scripture enough to show us that hell is not a joke, it's real. Do not let the whispering of the devil in your ear, later, you worry about that some other time. Don't listen to him. You're in church, aren't you? Don't let the whispering of the devil keep you complacent if you are outside of Christ. Come to Christ. Be born again and be on your way to glory today, no matter what else happens. Because hell is coming. It's real. And it will be waiting for everybody that doesn't get right with Jesus. The devil, the false prophet, and the beast are going to be there. And everyone else that never got right with Jesus. We're going to sing Just As I Am. And as Kathy leads us in those verses in that song, if you're not sure today, you come and I'll pray with you. You come and pray at the altar. You pray right where you're at. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. Hell is real. It's not a joke. It is the eternal destination of everyone who does not put their faith in Jesus the Christ and walk with him. Doesn't matter who we have been. He will forgive. The shed blood of Jesus was shed at Calvary for all of us, for all of sin, for all of time. Doesn't matter who we used to be. It matters who we are in Christ today. He will take us just as we are. All of our baggage, all of our sin, and when we repent, He washes it away. There's hope. There's victory in Jesus, friends. And I've spoken on this series, so if we're not right with Jesus, it's time to do something about that. It's time to do something about eternity. And so if you're here today and you're not sure, just bow. Let's all bow together. If you're not sure, friends, we've all got our heads bowed. We've all got our eyes closed. We're just going to pray. Just going to pray something like this. Father, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. I need Jesus. I repent of my sin. I believe that Jesus died for me. I receive Him by faith as Lord. Save me. Heal me. Set me on a path of newness in Christ. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray again. When I've read these scriptures over and over and over these last weeks on hell, I've read it, and we've read it, and I've been reminded, and we've been reminded. And I know more today why your heart's desire is that none should perish. Our heart should beat like yours. Our heart in the church, no matter what the denomination is, if we have been born again, our heart should beat like yours. We're not willing that any should perish either. We don't want to see anybody, nobody, in that place called hell. Help your church, Father, to rise up out of the ashes of lukewarmness and complacency and have a new burden for our neighbors and a new love for you, that we shed our light. We are salt, just like Jesus said, so that people around us that hurt and are wondering and wandering in the broad road to destruction will see Jesus in your people and want to know Him and receive Him and claim Him as Lord and be on the narrow path to life. Revive your church, O God. Save souls. Revive America. Save us, O God. Save us from the wrath of God that will come to everybody, regardless of position or denomination. Regardless if we are outside of Christ, it will come. The great white throne of judgment will come. Enlighten us and help us to come to you, crying out to you by faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of our sin, believing and receiving Christ as Lord. Father, help us do it today if we never have. Go with each and every one here. Encourage them. Forgive. Lift up. Heal. Enlighten. Go with us today, Father. Send your Spirit with us as we go into the day and into the week. May we bring you glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.